From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Okay, welcome in, Wisconsin. A Wednesday edition of the Bill Michaels Show. Tim Allen filling in for Bill. I do like to do the show once in a while, and it keeps me a little bit busier in the Brewers off season. Those of you that aren't aware of it, post-game duties on the Fan in Milwaukee regarding Brewers baseball, what a hell of a summer it was, and we'll get into that as the hot stove winter meetings are in Vegas right now. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. We'll talk with Eric Name, covers the Bucks basketball for The Athletic, and Danny Parkins from The Score at the bottom of this hour, and talk about Bears and Packers, among other things. And on that note right there, as I said, I like to do the show occasionally, filling in for Bill, and Bill does a great job, but you know, occasionally, like all of us, we got to have a little time off and things happen. Last week, we did the show what day? Wednesday, I think. I'm sorry, Monday. Was it Monday? I think it was Monday.
It's Monday.
Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking at playoff scenarios for the Green Bay Packers and how, I think I used the term, a funky NFC this year at the bubble, at the Mendoza line, at the, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 seeds. So my argument was that you never know in a weird season. You roll the clock back 8 weeks, 8 games ago, and it was a little more clarity at that time because, you know, Carolina was doing their thing. It looks like they were going to get rolling a little bit, and Seattle was almost dead in the water way back then, and then they start putting. So in the NFC specifically, it's crazy. It's kind of a weird, you get a tie in there that could help or hurt you. And so last Monday we talked about, you know, that the Packers are still in it. The day after, Mike McCarthy is let go. And at that time, my conversation to you guys was, I don't think the timing was right to let McCarthy go while they're still mathematically in. And they're not ruled out of the playoffs. And now we go through one more week of the slate of games in the NFL, and we find that every single thing that needed to drop right for the Packers to make the postseason in this one given week did go right. Carolina loses, Vikings lose, Cowboys beat the Eagles, Redskins lose. All of those things happened perfectly for the Green Bay Packers. And now we have to embark on that journey again, one step at a time. Now, granted, the daunting task of beating Chicago in Chicago, that's the challenge. That's the tough part. That's the one. This is the week where you still need some things to drop right, but it has to start with the Packers' victory over the Bears. Will it be an upset if the Packers beat the Bears? I think we can all agree on that would be an upset. And I think the NFL world, the landscape, will determine that to be an upset. I don't even know what the spread is on that game. What are the Packers getting down in Chicago, Joe? I haven't even checked it yet. I usually do that on Friday. But we could all agree that that would be an upset. That being said, we're not asking Josh Allen to pull the upset over the Bears. We're not asking, for a rookie, a Josh Rosen, or even a Lamar Jackson, or Mariota to pull the upset. We're asking Aaron Rodgers to pull the upset.
Bears are a 6-point favorite.
That's a big number. It's going to be a big upset if that occurs. But Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback that you're asking for an upset. You're asking him to come through with an upset. Being a gambler, not over-the-top gambler, but being a gambler, I would be all over this game, Packers on the money line, meaning Packers to win the game outright. Just, I think they do have a chance at this, only because of number 12. So that being said, at 5-7-1, 3 to play, they have to beat the Bears to continue this. Hey, man, we're believe it or not, we're still in this thing. Forget about, you know, at this point, forget about, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about, well, if they get in the playoffs, they're just going to be one and done anyway. Right? A lot of us are. A lot of you are. Forget about that, just for the sake of this conversation. Carolina, they play the Saints two of their last three games. Two of their next three games are against the Saints. They need them. They need the Panthers to lose. That's going to happen. Can we safely say that's going to happen? Can we assume that that's going to happen? It's tough to assume anything, but in all likelihood, I don't think the Panthers, at this point, losers of five in a row, are going to win the next three, two of which are against the Saints. Okay, that would drop right for the Packers. The Eagles, sitting at six wins. Do they not play the Rams this week? The Eagles-Rams matchup. Rams coming off a loss. Good football team. One of the better football teams in the NFC. I think they bounce back and they beat the Eagles, right? Eagles may have just, you know, lost any mojo they were trying to get with a loss of the Cowboys in overtime on Sunday. Let's see, what else? The Vikings. The Vikings got a little bit easier road, but you saw on Monday night what the Vikings are. You've seen so far this year what the Vikings are, losing and getting shut out at home to the Buffalo Bills. That's not asking for a ton to have the Vikings lose a couple of games. It's really not. And then who else? The Washington Redskins. Then we get to the Redskins. I don't even know if we can safely assume the Redskins win any of their next three games. But it starts with the win over the Bears. Point being, these guys, this Packer squad, they're still in it. After all that's been done this year, they're still in this thing. But it starts with the Bear game. Will they pull that upset? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Would have been nice to have this game featured on a night thing, maybe the Saturday game. They don't flex in Saturdays, do they? I don't think they do. I don't think they do, but that would have been cool. Has it dawned on everybody that they're still sort of in this thing? What's the most challenging thing that needs to happen for the Packers to make the postseason? Is the win over the Bears. To me, that's the most challenging part of all of this. The other part, when, you know, again, we're 1 week advanced. Because last week, the conversation was, well, now you're going to have teams lose three or four. And the likelihood of that is, you know, it's not going to happen. You reset, re-rack it now. Re-rack it to what's in front of us or them today. And in front of them today, the Chicago Bears. I think the Bears are somewhat overrated. I think they're a good team. I think they're on their way, but that offense is going to get them in trouble. And that offense may get them in trouble on Sunday, allowing the Packers to stay in that thing. Bear defense, rock solid. They are. Make no mistake about it. They're good. If anyone's going to find some sort of flaw in them, some sort of opening, I think it'll be number 12. you have to look at this game as the game of the season, really. I mean, this is their Super Bowl. You have to look at it. Game 7 of the World Series. That's Sunday for the Packers. Is it impossible? Not a chance would I ever say impossible when Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. Is this a love affair show for Aaron Rodgers today? No, it's reality. It is reality. You know, the Packers, we can play all the if games we want, and I think that's fair to have that conversation. I really do. Because that's the fine line of the NFL. That's the fine line of McCarthy getting fired and not being fired. We could make the argument right now that the Packers should have 4 additional wins. Some would say 5, then you minus the 1 in San Francisco that you had really pulled a rabbit out of the hat at the end there to win that game. So I'll say 3-4. Entirely different situation. Not only for Aaron Rodgers, for just the Packers, the fan base, the whole 9 yards. So have we ruled them out of the playoffs? Is your mindset that they're out of the playoffs no matter what? I mean, it just can't happen. Are you the guy, and Joe knows what kind of guy I'm talking about, are you the guy that is just doom? Ain't no way it's going to happen. I got some grief last Monday for saying the Packers were still in it. 855-830-8648. Just a couple of minutes on this if you want to chime in. Do you still reserve some sort of hope? Because that I think that it's here's the big battle when it comes to being a fan. Here's the big battle when it comes to the conversation for us sports talky dudes. It's hope versus realistic. Isn't it? And both sides have some merit to it. We have to be realistic about this stuff. No, but the other side is, as a fan, man, there's some hope here. It's a Bear-Packer game, interdivision, longtime rival game. Don't tell me they don't have a chance to win this football game. Uh-uh, not buying it. More next on the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical. Hey, guys, if you're still struggling with erectile dysfunction, don't be deceived by this pill or that pill out there. ED can be caused by many underlying health issues or just maybe normal aging. The problem is with the pills, they don't get to the root of the problem, and they have some nasty side effects. Call the medical experts at Neumel Medical Center. They're going to create an ED solution especially for you, and you're going to see the results in the first visit. Otherwise, that first visit is free. And if you're sluggish, you're moody, you're foggy, and your stamina is really low like I had, that could be low T. Thanks to Neumel, plenty of energy to tackle my crazy life and crazy lifestyle. And if you want to shed some pounds, check out Neumel's all-in-one weight loss program. I'm down over 50 pounds, and I've kept it off. It's great. I feel younger. I'm getting back in the game. Guys, call Neumel Medical Center today. Give them a buzz. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. Locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay. Call them today. 414-455-4451.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the Bill Michaels Show brought to you by our good friends at Cousins. They have the new Euros from Cousins right now, mouth-watering, scrumptious. Your choice of Euro meat or chicken with great seasoning. Both served with the Wisconsin feta cheese, fresh cucumbers, onions, tomatoes, slathered with the Greek yogurt tzatziki sauce. And then stacked on the freshly baked Italian bread. So rescue your taste buds. Check out our friends from Cousin Subs. It's limited time only, by the way. Go to CousinSubs.com or download the app. Again, for a limited time only, that is Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. A Wednesday edition, Wisconsin, of the Bill Michaels Show. Tim Allen in for Bill. Thanks for listening. Do appreciate that. I'm on a mission today to give Packers fans hope. Is that too much to ask? Let's get a little hope here. But, Tim, you're not being realistic. A lot of things got to happen in regards to the Packers making the postseason. All right, 855-830-8648. Let's get to some of you guys in lacrosse on KTY. It's Logan. Logan, you're on the Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, Tim. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess I just want to touch on what you were talking about. I myself, I've been very critical of the Packers this year. Mostly Aaron Rodgers, just for the simple fact of I've been seeing a lot of uncharacteristics coming from him as far as underthrowing, overthrowing. You know, he's always been the kind of guy that wants to hold on to the ball and take the sack instead of taking that risky play that we were used to with Brett Favre. But I do think that we're going to be counting on him a lot in this game, and I do believe that they're going to come out on top for the simple fact that you hit it right on the head when you said the Bears' offense is going to get them in trouble. And as long as our defense can play up to what they've been doing all year, which is more than what I ever expected with a team that's out there on the field right now, especially with all the injuries, as long as we can put 24-plus points on the board, I think that we come away with a victory.
So Logan's got the hope there, okay. And in the playoffs, Logan, you're still hanging on to some hope?
I would hope so. I think that the Washington Redskins, like you said, they don't win a game the rest of the year. Philadelphia is going to lose a game. Carolina is going to lose at least one game, and that's where we got to depend on the Dolphins. Hopefully they can ride that wave that they got coming out of New England and can beat Minnesota. And
the Vikings.
The Bears can beat.
Yep, that's it. And so that's that. Logan, thanks for the call. That is having hope. Joe on the north side of Milwaukee, you're next on the Bill Michaels Show. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Tim. All right, so first off, I won't never count Aaron Rodgers out because he plays best when he has a chip on his shoulder. So as I told the screener, I think they're going to win out. But it leads me to my question of, is it more beneficial for them to win out, or is it more beneficial for them not to win out and get a higher draft pick?
I say that you let it play. You try and win every game and let the rest of it play out. I find it very difficult that going into a game or going into a stretch of games that any professional franchise will try to lose. I don't buy that part of it.
But unless you put Deshaun Kizer in. If they put Kizer in for the last three games, you know they want to lose.
Okay. Yeah, you'd be right on the money there. Then they would want to lose. But, you know, after the season, then we could have that conversation whether or not it was beneficial for them to be, you know, in a position of having a better selection in the draft versus, you know, a close run to the playoffs. I think that once
the only reason I bring that up is New Orleans had, I believe, 3 straight 7-9 seasons. And those 3 straight 7-9 seasons equated to very impactful players on their team.
Yeah, I think Kamara was in there. I think Michael Thomas was in there. Lattimore may have been in there.
Yep, Lattimore, Ryan Ramczyk. They had 2 first-round picks a couple of years ago. Plus, that was the Kamara draft.
Yep, extremely beneficial for the Saints to have just those average seasons and the players that came out of it.
Yeah, it's a great debate. All right, Joe, thanks. And we'll have that conversation once the dust settles here. 855-830-8648. But again, that narrative is hope versus realistic.
The thing is, for me, it's Super Bowl or bust. For me as a fan, that's how I look at it.
But you got to get in.
You got to get in, but you have to ask yourself realistically, is this Packers team capable of running the table? You're going to be on the road every game going into the Super Bowl.
Oh, for your last 8 on the road.
Packer fans, think about this for a second. Including these regular season games, leading into the Super Bowl, 5 of 6 would have to be on the road, and you haven't won a road game yet. You couldn't beat the Detroit Lions on the road. You couldn't beat the Washington Redskins on the road. There is no guarantee. You could win against Chicago this week at your first road win. Great. Do we think we're going to roll out the helmets against the New York Jets?
Yeah, maybe.
Common logic would say, yeah, the Jets suck. You should beat up on the Jets. But knowing this Packers team, I have no idea.
Okay.
You can look at the Rams, how close that game was. The Patriots, how close that game was. Seattle, how close that game was. I'm more pissed about losing to teams like the Cardinals, the Redskins, the Lions.
By virtue
That's
of
my
those,
problem.
Though, all those close games that should have, would have, could have, and if they win type scenarios. Of all those games, because we're knee-deep into analyzing all these Packers games and losses, as we're talking about here, couldn't you then say that the inside information from Packer fans is that the team is far better than their record would indicate?
We just talked about last hour, Aaron Rodgers. Does he deserve all this criticism? I think he deserves some of the criticism, not all of it. But we just talked about a young rookie receiving corps that he's thrown to. A lot of guys with inexperience. So we're talking about inexperience here and trying to run the table?
Now I'll flip the other side. Again, though, couldn't we have that information by you know, looking at all the factors involved?
Sure.
Say that they're better than their record at 5-7-1. I think so. I think there's some validity to that.
They should have a win week two against Minnesota. That should not be a tie.
Arizona game.
I don't know what that performance was last week. They had no business losing to the Cardinals. I don't care how bad things have been. You don't lose the Arizona Cardinals at Lambeau Field, a team that's only won two times all season long.
You want to get in one more? Or do
sure.
We have to break? Okay.
Let's go to Brandon listening to us in Appleton on the score up there. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, you got the best hand, man. Hey, listen, this is what I got to say. Okay, first of all, just like the loss to Arizona, the cliche is any given Sunday. Now, what I'm more concerned about is can the Packers win out than the rest of the NFC going down by default? I mean, because it is brutal with what's going on with injuries and the demeanors of some of these teams we need to lose. Now, you get a Packer team that just so happens to win out, the narrative changes because all of a sudden they are the hot team going into the playoffs. They may even be the hottest team in the NFC going into the playoffs. And then once the playoffs start, everything in the regular season is over. It's a whole new season, and everybody's got fresh legs with the momentum going in. With a guy like 12, with the chip on his shoulder from what took place to it from the team all season, who wants to see that team coming into their stadium? So why not?
Love it, love it, love it. All right, thanks for the call, Brandon. The only concern there would be, and I agree with you, that any given Sunday mantra. The problem might be is of the next three and then into the playoffs, maybe four or five games, you need any given Sunday to happen every given Sunday.
Right.
That's the challenging part. But I agree with you that the conversation would change to, hey, man, look who's putting things together. You think Dallas wants to face Aaron Rodgers in round one of the playoffs? You really think Dallas would be feeling strong?
Well, I'll say this. They'd play in Dallas, and the Packers have owned the Cowboys in Dallas.
In Dallas.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
But the trick is getting in. So all these other things, the Vikings, the Panthers, the Eagles, the Redskins, it has to start with a victory over the Chicago Bears. This is the game. Rodgers knows that. He's aware of the dynamic of this one game. Nothing else can happen unless they win this game. He knows it.
Well, Aaron Rodgers better make sure he's on the same page with his receivers this week.
They're 17-year-olds in the grand scheme.
Well, go out of your way, Aaron. Do what you got to do.
I agree.
If you got to do this stuff at your house, if you got to invite the receivers to come over and say, hey, we need to go through this, or bring them over to the Don Hudson Center and say, okay, you need to be here, and you need to be here, and you need to be here. That's what you got to do.
Aaron Rodgers rushed for how many yards on Sunday?
44 on three attempts.
44 yards rushing. You think that was because of a new coach? And that's what I've heard too. Well, new coach, look at what Aaron Rodgers opened up. No, that's because Aaron Rodgers knows that it's the Super Bowl every week. And he's probably going to do it again. I think one of the, real quick, and we'll get to Danny Parkins talk Bears in just a second. I think it one of the most underrated offensive plays in the NFL as we speak right now. One of the single most underrated play offensively in the NFL is the show pass, show pass, show pass, and it was a designed run by your quarterback. I think that's the hidden secret in the NFL right now. These big third down plays, even second and seven, show pass, show pass, and the entire time the call was for the quarterback to run for the first down. I think Rodgers read a little something into that last week. 44 yards rushing. I see him doing it again. Talk Bears and football and maybe squeeze in Brewers and Cubs. One of our broadcast brothers in Chicago will join us next right here on the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
All right, welcome back, Wisconsin. It is the Bill Michaels Show. Tim in for Bill today and talking Bears and Packers, among other things, as we hit the Schneider Orange Hotline and welcome in a broadcast brother from The Score in Chicago, McNeil and Parkins. He is the Parkins portion of that, Danny Parkins. Nice to hear from you again. Last time we talked, it was June, but thanks for the time.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for having me on, man. How you doing?
More important, how you are in buckling up here after a huge win for the Bears. Signature win, maybe? I think so. I'm leaning that route for the Chicago Bears. How did you guys as analysts, the fans, and the team look at that win against the Rams?
Well, I mean, if that's not a signature win, then such a thing doesn't exist in the NFL, right? I mean, the Rams were coming into that game, a one-loss team on the track for the one seed in the NFC. Like, the Rams, the Chiefs, the Saints, those are probably the only teams. I mean, you maybe throw in the Patriots as another team that you could, okay, that's a signature win. But, yeah, of course that was a signature win, especially for a first-year head coach. It's not like the Bears are 10 years into some sort of dynasty where it's just another good team coming into Soldier Field and maybe they'll win, maybe they'll lose, and you're not going to make any sort of grand proclamation off of it. It doesn't mean that the Bears will win the Super Bowl or anything like that, but it absolutely means that it's possible.
Well, and they're trying to break the mold a little bit in today's NFL with that defense, man. That is turn back the page here in the NFL, as we all love our fantasy running down the field and the whole deal, but then was that advertised by Nagy coming in, that he was that defensive-minded guru?
Well, no. I mean, Matt Nagy is off the Andy Reid tree. The Bears aren't trying to turn back any sort of clock. They're trying to have both. Like, what the Bears did this offseason was everything for their offense, right? And then they were able to trade Khalil Mack. Like, they already had a top 12 defense last year, and they made two changes to the starting lineup. One was a top 10 pick with Roquan Smith at inside linebacker. And then they traded two first round picks and gave the largest defensive contract in history to Khalil Mack. But they brought back nine starters and retained Vic Fangio otherwise. Like, Matt Nagy only goes into the defensive meeting rooms when he's trying to pluck one of the defensive players to come out and play offense, which he's done a bunch this year. Like, that is Vic Fangio's defense, and Vic Fangio has been here. The Bears are all about offense. I mean, they're a top 10 scoring team in the NFL. Now, some of that's on defensive touchdowns if they lead the NFL in takeaways and great field position, but they hired an offensive coach from Andy Reid's tree to help their number 2 overall pick quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. They signed Mark Helfrich to be the offensive coordinator from Oregon to bring some of the college concepts in. They signed Taylor Gabriel. They signed Allen Robinson. They signed Trey Burton. Like, they've invested heavily in offense. So the hope is, while Mitch Trubisky's still on his rookie contract and he gets into year 2 in this system, like Pat Mahomes is in year 2 in his system, Deshaun Watson is in year 2 in his system, the guys from the same quarterback class, the hope is that the Bears' defense is still great, and then the offense gets up to that level, and they go on a nice little couple-year run here until Mitch Trubisky hopefully is ready to ascend to some sort of level of stardom and have a good offense and a good defense.
Yeah, so when does then, Danny, when does the offense get that team in trouble?
Well, I mean, it gets it in trouble when Mitch Trubisky has the worst game of his career, like he did against the Rams, and he turned the ball over 3 times, but the Bears defense took the ball away 4 against the Rams. But that was his first game coming off of the shoulder injury. He had missed the Lions game and the Giants game. They went 1-1 in those two. It was their best running game of the year. They've definitely been a pass-happy offense. And when Mitch Trubisky has been good in a pass-happy offense. They've been fine when he's been bad, and he's definitely been inconsistent. They've really struggled, and they've relied more on their defense, time of possession, and takeaways. So the offense, you know, we don't know if that game would have been the same if it was in L.A. or if it was in New Orleans. Maybe we'll find out in the second round of the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, that's the thing. That, you know, from the outside looking in, and you know, as a macro look at the NFL as well as the Bears, the Taylor Gabriels and Allen Robinsons and some of these guys, I just can't see a deep run because of the offense.
Why?
Just because of their names. I mean, Taylor Gabriel. I mean, Allen Robinson. There's no.
Well, I mean, Allen Robinson's an awesome football player who played with Blake Bortles last year for his entire career and Mitch Trubisky. He has a 1,400-yard season where he averaged 17 yards a catch. Like, he is a wildly talented football player. Taylor Gabriel is, you know, a number two. They traded up in the second round for Anthony Miller as a number two. Again, like, look at the Bears' scoring offense. They're top 10 in the NFL right now in points per game.
Burton disappears. I think Jordan Howard is misused. I think Cohen is probably, you know, a guy that I think in all regard, I think he's a little underrated, to tell you the truth. And I think he's been a monster down the stretch. But Burton disappeared for a while. Anthony Miller, I like that tool. But again, the inexperience, I could see.
Their defense is better than their offense. No one denies that, and the offense is a work in progress because all of those guys you mentioned are in year one in the system. So the offense will be better next year than it is this year. But I mean, the Vikings were in the NFC title game last year. The Jaguars were in the AFC title game last year and had a fourth quarter lead on the Patriots. You can make a deep run, and the Vikings had a lead in their NFC title game as well before they lost it in the second half. Two teams built on defense where their defense was better than their offense. The Eagles last year had a higher ranked DVOA defense than offense. So, I mean, yeah, the defense is better than the offense, but I don't know that that means that the Bears can't go on a run. And we've just seen it. We saw what Dallas's defense did to New Orleans. Yes, it was in Dallas, but it was on a turf. It was on turf in a dome, which is exactly where New Orleans plays. Now, the sound and home field, that matters. We'll see if it travels. But, I mean, there's six or seven teams in the entire NFL that you could realistically say could win the Super Bowl, and I would have the Bears at like fifth or sixth on that list.
And the NFC is a little bit of a crapshoot. I agree there, because I don't think anyone's worried about too much over the top about Dallas, and as you said, the Saints were exposed. A lot of Saints fans in Texas for that game as well. Now we get to the Bears and Packers, and how do the Bears or their fans view this game? And to use a phrase somebody told me in June, do the Packers look at the Bears still as the little brother down there in Chicago, or is it has the landscape changed a little bit here?
Well, I mean, I don't think that the Bears have ever looked at the Packers as the little brother. I said that about the Cubs and the Brewers.
That was it. Yes.
The Brewers are the little brother because they can't spend the type of money that the Cubs can spend. But the Packers have had Hall of Fame quarterback play for the last 25 years and are 15-2 in the last 17 games against the Bears, including an NFC title game appearance going back to 2011. So clearly that same little brother, big brother dynamic in an NFL where there is a salary cap and a salary floor is different than baseball. But that notwithstanding, Bears fans are very excited for the game because they were 6.5-point underdogs in the opener at Lambeau, and they're now 6.5-point favorites in the home game at Soldier Field, and home field's only supposed to be worth 3 points. So clearly the Packers have underperformed expectations, firing a coach, lots of dysfunction up there. We all know that story. And the Bears have exceeded expectations. One team's going to the playoffs and the other isn't. So, yeah, it's very exciting to have a shot to win the division against the Packers at home, but that doesn't mean that any sort of huge narrative is being rewrote. Like, I'm actually a little bit more bullish on the Packers' chances now that they've fired one of the worst coaches in the NFL in Mike McCarthy. Like, I think you guys are going to bounce back nicely next year. But for this year, clearly, every team in the NFC North has underperformed except for the Bears.
Yeah, I heard you talking about McCarthy days ago, but I mean, can you just expand on that just a little bit more, Danny, on you know, the guy's got a Super Bowl title, but should it have been more, et cetera, et cetera. But you've been pretty critical about McCarthy.
Yeah, I mean, Trent Dilfer has a Super Bowl title, too. No one says he's a great quarterback. So, like, I think if you do your analysis based on, oh, he has a ring, it's just pretty lazy. Whether you want to talk about the lack of creativity and innovation with the offense, the number of players who have spoke out, like Greg Jennings or Jeff Saturday, we're talking about changing play calls. Basically, the moral of the story is, if you have the most talented quarterback in the history of football, which is what Aaron Rodgers is, and that's not hyperbole, that's fact. He has the highest passer rating career in the history of football. He's in front of Brady, he's in front of Breeze, he's in front of Manning. He's number one. You should go to more than one Super Bowl with that guy. We can talk about the specifics of being conservative and settling for short field goals in the NFC title game against Seattle and how if there wasn't an onside kick and that's not on McCarthy. And we can go through any of the specifics if you want. We can talk about burning timeouts. We can talk about scapegoating defensive coordinators. The moral of the story is Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Mike McCarthy is coach. And this idea that Aaron Rodgers is somehow to blame entirely or even have the majority of the blame. I'm not saying he bears no responsibility for his play, and it's clearly eroded, but he's 2 years younger than Roethlisberger, 5 years younger than Breeze, 7 years younger than Brady. I happen to think Aaron Rodgers has a lot of great football left, and when you look around the NFL and you see the domination of these young quarterbacks when they get into good, innovative offensive systems that use RPOs, that bring guys in motion, that use multiple formations, that'll match up and say, okay, this nickel corner is our weakness, so we're going to target him 10 consecutive plays, you know, in the passing game in a row, and we're going to game plan specific things to put our quarterback in the best possible position to succeed. That hasn't been what has happened with Mike McCarthy under Aaron Rodgers recently. I think you guys go out, you get a young, innovative, offensive-minded head coach, you implement a new system, you use those first-round picks, your young defensive players come up. I think the Packers are going to be fighting with the Bears for NFC North supremacy next year, and I will pick Aaron Rodgers once again to win MVP, just like I did this year, because he's the best player in the sport.
Okay, real quick before I let you go, it was all a blur handling Brewers Post for now 13 years. It was all a blur, and I didn't relish in the glory of it too much, because it happened so quick. The Brewers run, and they were into St. Louis and putting together, and we're watching scoreboard, watching the Cubs lose, and then it's game 163, and it was a crazy thing at Wrigley. And, you know, the next day the Cubs get bounced, and the Brewers just sweep the Rockies, et cetera, et cetera. So just your clarification on Little Brother that you told me in June, that was regarding, just so I understand this, that was regarding the economics of the game, not necessarily the talent?
I mean, I think it's both, right? I think that right now it's pretty clear the Brewers exceeded expectations last year, and the Cubs probably played to their preseason expectations. Like, if you want to use, like, the Vegas over-unders or Pecota projections or, like, whatever you want to do, right? The Cubs won 95 games and had a bunch of players underperform. The Brewers bested them and had players exceed expectations. They were amazing. It was an incredible season for the Brewers. No one's taking anything away. In June, July, August, I expected the Cubs' talent to win out and their dominance in head-to-head to win out, and the Cubs' offense completely broke in August and September, and Christian Yelich was amazing, and Lorenzo Cain was amazing, and Craig Counsell was amazing, and you guys won the division and earned it, and it was an incredible accomplishment. And then you look this year, who's got the higher over-under for win total? The Cubs. Who's got the bigger odds? The Cubs. Who's got the bigger war chest? $220 million payroll? The Cubs. Like, baseball's just not an equitable game. And more often Agreed. Than not, talent wins out. And I think the Cubs have more talent than the Brewers. But it doesn't mean that the Brewers can't win the division again this year. And what they accomplished last year wasn't incredible. It's just, when we talked in June, I didn't think it was going to happen. It did. I was wrong. I'm wrong all the time. Just ask my bookie.
No doubt. All right, Danny, always a pleasure, man. Take it easy.
Thanks for having me on, Tim.
You got it. Danny Parkins, score in Chicago, and I had to get that in there about the Brewers. Cubs, he joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider, hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
Late for a break. sit tight. It's the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
All right, that was interesting. Welcoming you back to the Bill Michaels Show. Tim in for Bill today. Let's see, you had Mike McCarthy bashing. You had an I was wrong. And you had a clarification of the little brother comment from our broadcast partner and friend in Chicago there. I'm going to get into that a little bit later on, maybe. Critical words about Mike McCarthy. Wow. Okay. That's from afar. That's not a homer call right there. And up next, we'll talk some Brewers baseball. Adam McAlvey, who is in Vegas for the winter meetings. We'll chat with him next, right here on a Wednesday edition of the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program brought to you by Bud Light. Out and about again this year, the Bill Michaels Huddle is back. And look for us at a pub near you sometime soon. We hope to see you as a face in the crowd. That's Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.